Hey, I want to join with Isaiah in saying welcome. We are so glad that you could join us on Facebook Live. So a couple things as we get started this morning. First and foremost, what I want you to know is that we miss you. We sure wish that we could meet together, that we could worship together as a church family right here in this place. But we're grateful for technology like Facebook that allows us to do that. So I want you to know, we miss you. As I look out in this place and I see and I know where many of you normally sit, I just look around and I see empty seats, but I still see faces. And so we miss you, and we look forward to the time that we can get together again. Just want to share a couple things again as I get started. Want to give you a cool shout-out of praise. We had a couple really cool things happen this last week. One of our faith pointers, Nathan. Hey, if you're watching, Nathan, welcome home. Nathan's been hospitalized for the last few weeks, and he got to come home. So we're super glad that he got to come home from the hospital. And then one of our other faith pointers, Alex, was deployed, and he's been gone for about a year, and he is home as well. And so, Alex, if you're watching, it is good to have you back in the United States, so we're glad that you're here. Just a couple other things real quick. I hope that you will join me in just saying a word of thanks to all of the medical personnel, first responders, hospital folks, everyone who is out on the front lines doing what they're doing and taking care of folks. We are so grateful for you, and we are praying for you, and we are asking God to watch over you and to use you in mighty and powerful ways. And then last, before we jump into the message, again, a shout out of thanks to our Faith Point staff. Our Kids Point director, Wendy, had a Zoom Kids Point class this morning, and our student minister, David Moore, is having Zoom youth gatherings on Sunday afternoon. So I'm super grateful for you guys and for our band and tech team, folks running the computer and the technology. You guys, I am so grateful for you, and thank you for being here and being a part of this and making all of this come to life for us. All right, so let's jump in with our message for today. We are in the middle of a series that I have entitled Dangerous Prayers. This is a series based on a book by Greg Rochelle with that title. And in this book, Greg invites us to pray what he calls dangerous prayers, prayers that invite God to do deeper, greater works in us, prayers that invite us to position ourselves in such a way that God can do some amazing things. And we kicked this series off by my encouraging you to do one thing, to pray, to just pray. And I know that many of you think, well, what exactly is prayer? Well, quite frankly, what prayer is it's just talking to God like you would be talking to anybody else, a friend, a family member, anybody else. It's using your own language. There's no special language that you have to use, but you just spend time talking to God. In this first series where I encourage you to just pray, I talked about the fact that prayer can be gut-level honest, that we can come before God and we can just be honest. We can share and talk to God about anything and everything in our lives. We are encouraged to pray continually. As a matter of fact, the scriptures say that we should pray without ceasing, that we should always be in prayer. So that means prayer doesn't have to be a time where we have secluded ourselves off and just spend some intentional time in prayer, though that is really important. But we can pray at any time. We can pray in our cars. We can pray in our homes. We can pray when we get up in the morning. We can pray when we go to bed at night. We can be a people who are praying continually. And as we are praying, what I encourage you to do is to listen for God's response, because I believe that God speaks to us when we pray. He speaks to us through his word, through scripture. He speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. He speaks to us through his people, the church, through spiritually mature people in our life. He speaks to us through circumstances and opportunities. So we should be a people who pray honestly about everything continually, and we should listen for God's response. Then the next week, we looked at the idea that one aspect of prayer is that we should ask God to speak to us. Yes, to speak to us. That we should position ourselves to just be still. To be still so that we can hear the voice of God. You know, in our world, we are so busy. I heard somebody say one of the things about one of the self-quarantine and the social distancing things that has come up is that we've seen a lot of families coming back together again. We've seen folks spending some time together to kind of push out some of the busyness in our lives and the distractions and the noises and all those kinds of things. So in this prayer of asking God to speak to us, what we need to do is to sometimes be still, to just kind of move all that noise outside, to position ourselves to be willing to listen to God, be willing to listen, and then be ready to respond as we hear God speak to us. Week 3, we invited and asked God to search us. Now, this came out of this amazing prayer that we see in the life of David, one of the greatest characters that we see in the Old Testament. And David taught us in one of his Psalms that we should invite God to search us, to search inside of us, to examine our hearts, to refine our thoughts, to expose anything that is offensive to God, and to lead us towards righteousness. One of my favorite prayers of David was when he asked God to create in him a clean heart, to renew a right spirit within him, to restore the joy of his salvation, because David knew that he continually had to invite God to do this deeper work in his heart and in his thoughts to reveal anything that might be separating him in his relationship with God and his relationship with others. So we ask God to search us. Last week, our prayer was a little bit more difficult, I believe. In that prayer, we ask God to break us. Yes, to break us. To come and to see those things in our lives that are hindering us in our relationship with him and with others, people, and to literally to break those, to break us free of those things. We looked at the fact that there are things in our lives that just need demolition, things that need to be torn down. And we don't just tear them down, but we also want to eradicate them from our lives. We want to take them away. We want to get them out of our sight. We want to get them out of our lives. And then what that does is it creates the opportunity for reconstruction or for rebuilding to happen. And so I wonder how many last week, if you listened to last week's message, did you find yourself throughout this week praying and asking God, God, would you just break me? Break me of maybe some thoughts I shouldn't be having. Break me of some of the things I've been feeling. Break me of some of the attitudes that I have been expressing. God, would you just break that away? So that I can really be the man or woman that you created me to be. Well, today, we are going to go to the book of Acts, and we are going to look at another aspect of prayer, where we are going to look at a story from Peter and John, two of Jesus' disciples, as we ask God to make us bold, to make us bold in our faith, to seize the opportunities and the experiences that we have to share our faith with others, to not be ashamed, to not hold back, to share with others the hope that we have. The Bible tells us that we should always be ready everywhere to explain the hope that we have as followers of Christ. And so what we're going to pray today and this coming week is we are going to ask God to make us bold. Push us out of our comfort zone, create opportunities for us to share with others the hope and the faith that we have. Now, again, the story that we're going to look at this morning comes from the book of Acts, very early in Acts. Actually, it begins in chapter 3, where Peter and John are going into the temple, and they see a crippled man who's been crippled for a long time, and he comes up to them and says, hey, can you give me some money? And they say, we can give you something better. And they say, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are healed. That's right. They healed this beggar. Now, the religious leaders and the authorities and the temple guards of the day, they didn't like that. They had this working relationship with the Roman government, that the Roman government allowed them to do what they do as long as there wasn't any conflict or any difficulty. And they saw some of the things that the disciples were doing as potentially causing a lot of conflict and a lot of difficulty. And so what the scriptures tell us in chapter 4 is that the temple authorities, they actually arrest Peter and John. They arrest them, they bring them in, and they ask them, by what power or in whose name have you done this? So the religious leaders say, so whose name and whose power do you actually do this? Now, what we see in Peter and John is they don't shirk back. They don't get timid at this point. As a matter of fact, what we see is their response is downright, outright bold. It is bold. Their response comes in Acts chapter 4, verse 10. It says, Peter is speaking. He says, let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. Can you imagine how bold that was? They're saying, so who says that you could do this? And they're like, well, we do this under the power and the authority of Jesus, who you crucified. Now, I think that is super bold. Now, the religious leaders and the authorities, they had no idea what to do with Peter and John. They call them, they called them in, they talked with them, and then they kind of moved them away, and they had a little business meeting to talk about, hey, what are we supposed to do with these? What should we say to them? How should we treat them? And a little bit later in Acts, it just tells us that they come before Peter and John and says, don't do it anymore. Right? They just say, don't speak of Jesus and don't teach about Jesus. Don't talk about Jesus. Don't do this anymore. But you know what? Those words didn't stop Peter and John. When we look at Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it tells us the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. For they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. Now, I love this passage because it tells us that the members, the council, they were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Now, there's an interesting little nuance to the scriptures that our text actually doesn't pull up. And I love the fact that in his book, Greg Koshel points this out to us, that the word that is used, the Greek word for ordinary men, is actually where we get our word idiot. That's right, idiot. The scriptures actually say that Peter and John, that they could see that they were idiots, actually. They didn't know anything. They had no special training in the scriptures. And yet, with boldness and conviction, they shared who Jesus was. But what was their response then? So they've been arrested. They tell the religious leaders whose name and whose authority they're doing. And ultimately, the religious leaders, they let them go after they said, don't do that anymore. And then we look at what their response was. What would your response be if somebody said to you, you cannot talk about Jesus anymore. Don't teach about Jesus. Don't talk about Jesus. Do nothing that has to do with Jesus. Don't do it. We're warning you. It's kind of like the ultimate parent, right? Don't do that or you're going to get in trouble. But what did Peter and John do? My friends, what the scriptures tell us they did, that the disciples responded with prayer. They prayed. They came together with their community and they prayed. Now, what's interesting to note is they didn't pray and say, God, would you just put a hedge of protection around us? They didn't pray and say, God, would you help us to avoid the problem anymore? God, would you just silence them? Look and see what it says. In Acts 4, verse 29, here's their prayer. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, see it, great boldness in preaching your word. They prayed and asked God to give them great boldness in preaching your word. They weren't going to be shut down and shut out. They were not going to be pushed away and shoved off. No, they pray and they ask God to give them great boldness in preaching the word. Greg Rochelle says in his book, Dangerous Prayers, following Jesus was never meant to be safe. I think that's a good word for us. It was never meant to be safe because we had news for the world that is countercultural. We have news for the world that we are made right with God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And that is not always going to be well received. And so the question that I have for you this morning, actually, I would invite you on a scale of 1 to 10 to rate how amazed are people by your boldness. How amazed are people by your boldness in sharing your faith? Are you a 1? In other words, you are like an undercover Christian? Like nobody has any clue that you're a follower of Jesus? Or are you a 10? Are you like, I take every opportunity and seize every moment that I can to tell someone about my faith, to talk about the faith that I have in Jesus Christ? Or are you somewhere in between? I really want you to think about this for a moment. How amazed are people at your boldness? Is it clear to the people you go to work with? Is it the people that you go to school with if you're a student? Is it your family? Is it your neighbors? Is it the people that you encounter in the stores? Would they have any idea that you are a follower of Jesus? Because how bold are you in your faith? Now, for Peter and John and the other disciples, they lived in a time where there were great threats to sharing the gospel, to sharing the good news of Jesus. Remember, Peter and John in chapter 4, they're arrested for doing it. Then they pray, and guess what? By the time we get to chapter 5, they've been arrested again. They've been arrested again for sharing their faith. So let's back up a little bit to Acts chapter 4, verses 29 through 31, and let's hear what happens. Where they say, Peter and John say to the religious authorities, and now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us your servants great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Again, you notice they're not stepping back, right? I mean, they're coming bold. They're coming right out and say, okay, God, as a matter of fact, don't just give us boldness, but give us the ability to perform miraculous signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. And then it says, after this prayer meeting took place, the place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they preached the word of God with boldness. See, when God comes and takes up residence in us, we are given great boldness to tell others about our faith. Even if we don't always think we have the words to say or the things to explain, is that God actually gives us the words to say. And gives us the opportunity to share the word of God, to share the life that we have, the hope that we have, share the salvation that we have in Jesus with great boldness. And as I said, so they continued to do that which the religious leaders and the authorities said, don't do this anymore. So then we read in Acts chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, once again, they arrested the apostles, the second time, right? The second time that's recorded, it might be more. But they arrested the apostles and they put them in the public jail. And I love this. But an angel of the Lord came at night, opened the gates of the jail, and brought them out. Then he tells them, go to the temple. Go to the place where the people are. Go to the place where those religious leaders and authorities, go right back where you were. Go there and give the people this message of life.
The angel doesn't tell them, go hide. The angel doesn't tell them, shut up. The angel doesn't tell them, be really careful. But he actually says, no, 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 go. Go to the temple and share this good news. Tell others about Jesus with great boldness. Give the people the message of life. I think there are at least four attributes of spiritual boldness. There are at least four attributes of spiritual boldness. When we embrace what God wants us to do, when we become people who move from a one or two or three to a 10, and we actually share our faith always and everywhere, that we seize the opportunity, that we look for the experiences, that we do the things that are going to position us so that we can actually share our faith with others. Because, you know, the Apostle Paul says in Romans, how will people know if we don't tell them? You know, the truth is, if we don't tell them, who will? Maybe nobody. And is that okay with us? Well, as followers of Jesus, it's not okay. Because the Bible tells us there's no other name by which we are saved or made right, but by Jesus. That he is the way and the truth and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through him. So if we are not bold, if we don't share our faith with others, well, what's going to happen to them? So four attributes of spiritual boldness that I want to share with you. Number one, what we see from the life of Peter and John and so many others throughout Scripture is that boldness almost always triggers spiritual opposition. It almost always triggers spiritual opposition because we are literally at war with some of the Scriptures referred to as an evil one, of powers and principalities who don't really want the name of Jesus to come to life. And so we are going to face, when we are bold about our faith, when we share with others our faith, there is going to be spiritual opposition. Look what happened to Peter and John in Acts chapter 5:18. It says, they arrested the apostles and they put them in the public jail. They were willing to be jailed for their faith. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 5, verse 40, it says, they called in the apostles and they had them flogged. Flogged was beaten and whipped. There were professional floggers in the first century who their job was to make it as painful and bring people as close as they can to death without killing them. And the apostles are flogged because of their faith. Now, are we ever going to be flogged here in our country? I don't think so. And so when we think about this, we're like, oh, but, you know, we're not going to face that kind of opposition. But what if you face opposition like that means you might get made fun of? Or that means that you don't get included in certain activities and a part of certain groups. What if that means that people make fun of you and call you names? Or just exclude you? That, my friends, is all opposition. Are you willing to face opposition so that you can share with others the hope that you have? That you have been made right by grace through faith in Christ alone? That the trajectory of your eternity is heaven? Are you willing to face opposition? To say, there are certain things I'm not going to do. There are places I'm not going to go. There are things I'm not going to look at. There are things I'm not going to participate in. Are you willing to be that kind of bold? Are you willing to face the opposition? Well, my friends, if Peter and John were willing to face flogging, and we won't face opposition, what does that say about us? So the first attribute of spiritual boldness is that boldness almost always triggers spiritual opposition. number two, I love this, that boldness often releases God's miracles. That when we are bold, the Bible tells us that we can come boldly before the throne of God, where we will receive his grace. But when we come boldly before God, that God does things in us and with us and through us and even in spite of us. That miraculous things happen when we are bold about our faith. In Acts chapter 5, verse 12, it tells us that the apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. You know, that wasn't just a first century thing. I believe that that's a thing for us as well, if we embrace that kind of a boldness with our faith. Now, don't get me wrong. This is not a name it, claim it. You just do it and you get it. But there is something that happens when we are bold about our faith, is that God will use that to do the miraculous. The miraculous might turn a sinner into a saint. The miraculous might be set someone free from an addiction or a habit or a problem that has overtaken their life. That when we're bold about our faith, it creates avenues and opportunities for God to work through us in the lives of other people. I love this when Peter and John were put in prison. Look what it says in Acts 5:19. It says, an angel of the Lord came at night, opened the gates of the jail, and brought them out. And then it just continues. Like that's thrown in there. But that was a miraculous event that the scriptures don't really say much else about, that it just kind of takes it for granted, right? So they're placed in jail. An angel comes and lets them out, and then they leave. That's miraculous, isn't it? That God set them free. He set them free from a physical jail. What is it that God might set free that's not a physical jail for us, but an emotional jail? An addiction jail, a relational jail, something that is holding back and hindering us. My friends, I believe with all my heart that just as boldness in the first century released God's miraculous power in and through the lives of his disciples, that he will do the exact same thing today. If we're bold about our faith, if we're not afraid to share the hope that we have. So again, four attributes of spiritual boldness. Boldness almost always triggers spiritual opposition. Number two, boldness often releases God's miracles. Number three, boldness always requires faith. What is faith? It's trust. Boldness always requires faith. That God is going to use us, that God's word is true. It is that we trust that God keeps his word. In Acts chapter 4, verses 19 through 21, it says, an angel of the Lord told them, go to the temple and give the people this message of life. So at daybreak, the apostles entered the temple as they were told, and immediately began teaching. Do you think that required great faith? I do. They've been jailed a couple times. They've been flogged. And an angel says, okay, now go. Go back to the temple and preach and teach about Jesus. Share your faith. Now, if there's one thing that is abundantly clear here, is it that boldness required great faith on the part of Peter and John. They had no doubt. You don't see them hem-hawing around. You don't see them taking a few days to think about it. You don't see them saying, okay, Peter, you go and I'll stay back, or John, you go and I'll stay back, and we'll see how we're received, and hey, why don't we go to this little corner over here and just, you know, find one person to share with and, you know, kind of do this incognito. No. They go into the temple and they just start talking. And they tell people about Jesus, about the hope that they have, the life that they have, their eternity that they will know and that they do know. See, boldness always requires faith. So do you have the faith? Do you have the faith to have a spiritual conversation with somebody? Do you have the faith to be a person who talks about your faith, who invites people to church? Do you know that statistics tell us that over 75% of the population who doesn't go to church would actually go to church if they were invited by somebody? So the disciples, the opposition that they faced was flogging. For us, the obstacle that we might have of inviting somebody to attend worship with us, to be a part of a small group with us, to have a spiritual conversation with us, is that we might get made fun of or they might say no. See, boldness requires faith. It requires a faith that says, you know what, I believe this is true. I believe, as the Bible says, that everyone is made right with God by grace through faith in Christ. I believe that the Bible says, as the Bible says, that God loves everyone, and it's his desire that all people would come to a saving knowledge of his Son. I have faith. I believe that's true. But there's a difference between just having the belief and doing something about it. And so the prayer that we're inviting you to this week is to pray and ask God to make you bold, to make us bold, to share our faith, to not worry that I don't have all the right answers, to not worry that I don't have every page of Scripture memorized, that I can't quote off Scripture passages right and left and be able to say, okay, well, it's right here and right here and right here. I mean, Peter and John, look what it says. Like, they were simple. They didn't know the Scriptures, and yet they shared their faith. So what's holding us back? What's holding you back from telling others about Jesus? Because see, again, here's what I believe. That boldness not only triggers spiritual opposition, that boldness often releases God's miracles. That boldness always requires faith. But number four, boldness unleashes great joy in the life of a believer. When we're bold about our faith, when we share our faith in others, if you want to know what it's like to experience joy, abundant joy, share your faith with someone. Be that person who takes the hand of an unbeliever and puts it in the hand of our Savior. Be that person who gets to be on this side of eternity, helping someone else to know the other side of eternity, the life that is with God forever, the life that the book of Revelation describes as a place of no more crying, no more tears, no more sadness, no more pain, where it is just all good. Can you imagine the joy that that would bring if you had the opportunity to tell someone else about the Jesus that you know, about the life that you have embraced, about the eternity that you're already experiencing? In Acts chapter 5, verse 41, it says this: the apostles left the high council, look at the word, rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. The same guys who had been imprisoned at least a couple times, the same guys who hit all kinds of opposition. I'm sure that they were made fun of. I'm sure that they were called names. I'm sure that there were people who were like, okay, you don't get to come to my party now. I'm sure that these guys were the guys who were excluded from certain things because others knew, hey, they just don't do that because that's not what they do. But in the midst of this, they leave the high council, the religious leaders and authorities, rejoicing, filled with joy that God counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. And so I have a question for you this morning. Will you pray this dangerous prayer? God, make me bold in the face of opposition. God, make me bold with the opportunities to experience your miracles. God, make me bold with a faith that is certain. God, make me bold to experience the joy, the abundant life of walking intimately with you and telling others about the hope that I have, the conviction that I'm certain of, the thing that I believe that is the most important thing in my life, and that gives me joy. Would you pray this prayer? God, make me bold. Now, I will warn you. This prayer comes with a warning. If you pray that prayer, I promise you, God will give you opportunities to be bold about your faith, to take a stand, to talk about who Jesus is and what he means to you, to invite others to come to your church when we can gather once again physically, to see the hope that you have, that yes, you and I are a work in progress, but we know who we are and we know what God wants for us. See, if you pray this prayer, I believe with all my heart that we will begin to experience a joy that even in the midst of suffering disgrace like the disciples faced, we'd find joy. So my invitation to you is to pray this prayer. Make me bold, oh God. Would you join me as we pray? Heavenly Father, this is a big, bold, audacious, scary, difficult prayer because we so often feel inadequate, that we are afraid that we will not have the words to say or the scriptures that are memorized or the life that exemplifies perfection. And yet you tell us none of that makes any difference. That we should just share the hope that we have. That we and all people have the opportunity to be made right with you by grace through faith in Christ alone, not by any works that we do, but simply by faith, by trusting and believing that your Son Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That you stepped out of heaven and you stepped onto earth, so we get to step off of earth and step into heaven, redeemed, renewed, restored, recreated, your children. So God, I pray with everyone who's listening, everyone who's watching, God, would you make us, your people, bold, a people who will share our faith, who will not only believe that it's true, but will put feet to that belief. And God, I would pray this morning that if there are folks who are listening to this message who they've yet to put their faith and their hope and their trust in you. God, I pray that right now your Holy Spirit would be moving, that you would be moving in their hearts or moving in their minds, moving in their soul, drawing them to you, that they might say yes to you, that they might discover that a relationship with you is just begins by saying yes, acknowledging that without you, we are lost, but with you, we are found, that you love us more than we could ever imagine, and that you have an abundant life in store for us. And so, Lord, I would pray for those who are ready to receive this today, who are ready to say yes to you, that you would hear the cry of their hearts. Come, Lord Jesus, come and begin a new work in me. Help me to know you, to have faith in you, to believe that you got this, that you got me. Help me to experience the abundant life that you have for me. God, right now, I want to put my faith in you. I don't know where all this is going to lead. I don't know what it's going to look like even later today or tomorrow or the next week. But Lord, right now, I want to fix my eyes on you. Your word tells us that you are the author and the perfecter of our faith, the beginner and the finisher. And you will draw us and you will shape us and you conform us and you will transform us to the very image of Christ. That you have come so that we might have life and have it abundantly. So help us to experience that life right now, today, right now as we're watching this. And Lord, for those who have already put their faith in you, their trust in you, God, would you stir them? Would you stir all of us? Would you make us bold for you? Would you help us, empower us, equip us to share the faith that we have, that the world might come to know you, that your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. So God, would you do that in us today and this week? Lord, would you just keep bringing that to our minds every single day with every person that we encounter this week, whether it's limited by a physical place or whether it is virtual online, wherever it is, God, would you just give us the boldness to begin walking in this relationship with you where we just contagiously, outrageously share the hope that we have, the faith that we have in you. And we will give you, God, the glory and the honor and the praise because you and you alone are good. So come, Lord Jesus, do this work in us, we pray. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus.